from C.F.W. Walter's The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel, we hear about awakening and conversion, a false dichotomy. Theses 22. In the 18th place, the Word of God is not rightly divided when a false distinction is made between a person's being awakened and his being converted. Moreover, when a person's inability to believe is mistaken for his not being permitted to believe. Several years ago, some fellow church members and I attended a small town Baptist revival as a Bible study field trip. We went to observe this thesis in action and debrief together afterwards. The revival preacher knew his audience. Staring intently toward our pew of Lutherans, he let us have it. Quote, "You may think you believe. You attend a church every week. You may even know every gospel detail in your head. But unless you this night feel the fire of hell, come forward to accept Jesus and change your earthly life, you have no guarantee of eternal life." End quote. He used qualified nouns throughout: true believer, genuine Christian, heartfelt faith, instead of believer, Christian, and faith. He based this on a false distinction between those he considered merely awakened and those who are truly converted. He wanted us shaking in our seats, as if God withholds true saving faith until you suffer a specific kind of spiritual struggle. Like the priests of Baal who thought their self-mortification brought about divine intervention, and the Pharisees who doubted how Jesus could forgive, a wide spectrum of false teachers, from Catholic to Baptist, withhold the assurance of salvation from souls until they can see contrition with their eyes. The root error, Walter diagnoses, is a denial of the simplicity of conversion. Conversion does not come because of any struggle or conflict on our part, but by the gospel's power alone. There is no spiritual limbo. In a moment, God brings the soul from darkness to light. As Ephesians 2:1 says, "You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Thus, once the law was clearly communicated, the apostles refused to withhold God's unconditional forgiveness. As Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Scripture does not depict some as merely intrigued by gospel details. Herod Antipas, Felix, Festus, Agrippa. But since no man can peer into the heart, Walther says, "We cheerfully proclaim the universal grace of God freely and leave it to God whether people will believe it or misapply it." He rightly warns, quote, "In every man there is hidden by nature a blind self-righteous Pharisee," unquote. The revival preacher deep within each of us makes us doubt one another. How can he call himself a Christian and do what he's done? Look no further than Peter, who openly confessed Jesus as Christ, but then denied him thrice, who welcomed Cornelius into the church, but later acted as if believing Gentiles weren't genuine Christians. To wrestle with sin and to struggle with the exercise of patience and love are part of the cross every Christian bears after conversion, not something that separates you from Jesus before it. Whenever your conduct makes you worry whether you're a true believer, the law has done its work. It has revealed your sin so that in the gospel you might treasure all the more the Savior's blood shed for you. I no longer take Bible study groups on field trips now that the internet allows you to observe them from a healthy distance. But witnessing error in action renewed our confidence in rightly dividing the word of truth. And I advise you to test all things yourself. Learn to recognize law-gospel confusion in every form, especially as it festers within other Lutheran synods today, lest you take for granted the treasure God yet preserves among us, namely, that the gospel alone is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. This article was written by Timothy Daub, pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Heckler, South Dakota.